In the first few centuries of the Christian era, a group of men and women wandered away from society, desiring to follow the gospel message as closely as they possibly could, and found themselves in the desert. They stayed there, and they built little cells out of the rocks, and they built communities, kind of. But really, they lived solitary lives, focused on prayer, penance, and coming to follow Christ as fully as they possibly could. They came to be known as the Desert Fathers and Mothers, and their sayings and their writings are rather odd. If you actually get a chance to read them, you'll realize that once you get through like a story, you go, wait a minute, what are you encouraging? This is kind of strange. And even their sayings, they're full of great spiritual wisdom, but they're also like Buddhist teachings where you have to kind of sit there and gnaw on them for a while before they truly make sense. And so I have one for you today that kind of brings out the core message that I want for today. And it's just as odd as I mentioned a moment ago. There was a monk in some monastery. The tempter had conquered him in negligence. He didn't do his canon, he didn't go to church, he didn't do his rule of prayer, and thus the fathers didn't know him and regarded him as negligent. The hour of death came and the fathers drew near him to see something, which perhaps God might show in order that they might be benefited. Drawing near to the dying negligent monk, the fathers saw that he was very joyful. They were perplexed. And they said in their thoughts, "Look, why is he peaceful? The negligence which he had in this life doesn't worry him? What happened to the debts which had been gathered because of his sloth? His conscience doesn't rebel? It doesn't make him worry? He doesn't despair?" He continued to be joyful. They compelled him to answer their question. "Forgive us, brother. We see you doing so-so. We know that you lived in negligence and sloth in the monastic duties. Now you are headed to the judgment of Christ, and you should be somewhat sorry, worried, etc. But we see you otherwise, joyful, peaceful, with hope, and we question, what supports this condition of yours?" He answered them and said, "You are right, my fathers. That's how it is. I was negligent and didn't do what you did, but one thing I guarded in my life, not to judge my brother. I read in the Holy Gospel where the Lord says that the one who does not judge will not be judged. Thus I tried at least not to judge, and I hope in the mercy of God that I will not be judged. For this reason, I am departing with faith that God will apply his word." The fathers looked into it among themselves and said that in fact the brother was very clever and masterfully gained his salvation. I'm not entirely sure what this is encouraging. It sounds like it's encouraging sloth, as long as you don't judge one another. Nevertheless, the point that I'm trying to get at is what I call watchfulness, or the virtue of watchfulness. And there's a lot of different kind of connotations or words associated with it, such as guarding the heart, which I learned in a podcast, or kind of diligence, or watching the mind. All these kind of things fit into it. Watchfulness. The main core idea behind it is, as we go through life, lots of temptations, thoughts, ideas come to our heart and our mind. And so what we do is we're being very watchful and diligent about what we think and what we feel and how those either detract us from God or draw us closer to him. So that as we're following, technically the example of this weird monk, that we're constantly watching what our thoughts are doing so that they're always in line with God and we're doing our best to follow him. That's the idea of watchfulness. Now, this idea actually does run through all of our readings for today. In our first reading today from the Book of Wisdom, we hear about the Jewish feasts, namely Passover. Now, if you want to learn about the rest of the Jewish feasts, they're about 9 chapters long and they're in the Book of Leviticus. There's a point to these feasts. They are periodic throughout the entire year, so that as the year unfolds, there's these kind of ebbs and flow where they constantly are reminded of God's presence. During the planting, during the harvest, during the new moons, during the Feast of Atonement, where they get forgiven, during the Passover, when they remember the big stories of the Jewish tradition. All these moments in the year are constant reminders that God is there. So that as we wander through life and we start to lose our sway and we start to become more slothful, we go, oh yeah, God's there. Yep, there he is. That's the point of the Jewish feast. And the Book of Wisdom is drawing that out in a very special way. Remember Passover. Remember what your fathers did. Remember how important this feast is. Bring it to mind. Now, Abraham's a little bit different. In our second reading today from the Book of Hebrews, we read about the faith of Abraham. And yeah, I'm kind of going on a spin-off of it because there's some neat details of that reading that are worth mentioning. So here we have Abraham. And we forget one thing about Abraham. He was really old. Like, his first child, Ishmael, was born at 70 years old. He died at 175. So that 100 years between the first birth of his first son and his death were encapsulated in 10 chapters of the book of Genesis, which means not a lot happened. That being said, Abraham's a man marked by faith. He believed in God. He felt God. He recognized God's presence. And he spent all those 100 years constantly calling God to mind, remembering the promises, remembering what God has done, and always recognizing, I got to be mindful of God and his ways so that I know his promise will come to fulfillment. And that final line of the letter to the Hebrews caught me really sharply. It said, he gave his son Isaac, knowing that God would give him back. Even though God asked him to sacrifice his son, he knew full well that God would not fully allow it, but somehow would transform this into a profound moment. This is the level and gravity of Abraham's faith. He knew God so well, he wasn't off-put by even his own emotions of, this is my only son and I have to kill him. God, are you sure about this? Nope, he went in full faith. That's another level of this watchfulness. And then, in a very clear way, we have our gospel for today, where Jesus is very clear about the importance of watchfulness. Who is the good and prudent steward? It's supposed to be us. What does the good and prudent steward do? Stay watchful and make sure they wait for the master's return. Otherwise, what happens? They're not that way. They get drunk, carousing, blah, 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 blah. All these things happen, and the master arrives and beats him. Yep, that's pretty much the moral of the story. The watchfulness is very clear there. We are like prudent stewards. The household is our bodies. Our minds, our hearts, our very emotions, what we do is all part of that watchfulness, that we're being ready for that day when Jesus calls us, or when he comes back. Either one could happen. And we go, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I've done the best I can, like that very clever monk who said, you know what, as long as I'm not judging, he won't judge me, we're good, right? So we also have to be watchful. And the three aspects of watchfulness that I think are most important for us is, first of all, mindfulness of God. Constantly calling to mind God's presence. And this takes some work. It's really not easy. There's a whole spiritual tradition written about this, such as Brother Lawrence's The Practice of the Presence of God, or St. Pierre de Cassade, who wrote, Abandonment to Divine Providence. These aspects in our lives when we do things to constantly remember that God's there. Even a crucifix on the wall, holy water when we enter church, times of prayer throughout our day, or like meal prayers. Those are all ways in which we call our minds back to God's presence and remember, yes, God is here. Yes, I got to be watchful. Yes, I got to be mindful of him. Yes, there are things he wants me to do. The second one, which comes from a podcast I listened to on the Desert Fathers, is called Guarding the Mind and the Heart. He called it Guarding the Heart, where we remember that, you know, lots of thoughts come to our mind every day. Not always good thoughts. Some of them are pretty bad. You know, that's part of it. But I have a choice once it comes into my mind what I do with it. Do I want to engage it? Or do I let it go? Or do I fight against it? What am I going to do with these things? And how do I constantly cultivate my mind so that it focuses on good things? That it focuses on following the commandments? I'm not overwhelmed by these emotions or thoughts, but can live in the freedom of thinking good things, or thinking about good things, or cultivating my mind in such a way where it's focused on what's right. That's the guarding of the mind or guarding of the heart. I need to really focus and be diligent, which is exactly why the desert fathers and mothers went out into the desert. They had to get away from absolutely everything in order to really focus. The last one is perseverance. Probably the hardest of the three, to be blunt. This is where we do it day in and day out, and it's just not fun. It's like running a marathon. I got how many miles to go? Oh, shoot. Like, I'll be blunt. Yesterday, I went for a hike, and we're like, cool, we'll go for a nice 12-mile hike. So we get there, and we're like, we're nowhere exciting. Let's go a little further. 6 miles later. So it ended up being a 21-mile trip. Oops. Perseverance. That constant day in and day out of just keep going. Okay, today didn't work so well, tomorrow will be better. Okay, today didn't go so well either, next day. I'm going to keep fighting, I'm going to keep going. It's okay. We'll get there. That perseverance, that constant battle, that struggle, that really does solidify faith and lead to the virtue of watchfulness. So if we really want to follow the laws of God, really want to cultivate these virtues in our lives, we have to follow these things. We have to be watchful. Watchful of our mind, watchful of our hearts, mindful of God, and persevere to the end. Because that's how we get to the point of sanctity. That's how we get to the point of knowing our God.